Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to rise in an all-male run, all-male controlled, all-male executed, all-male domain, all men all the time? Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to survive, not only survive, but to thrive and to gain their utmost respect? Their utmost regard, and to gain the admiration of not only the men you work with, but everybody who encounters you. Do you know what kind of woman you had to be in 1980? You gotta be powerful, 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 powerful. And I mean...
Thank you, Oprah, for that excellent introduction as usual. Good evening, everybody. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. This is the Women in Business Show. This is actually the second show of 2022. I apologize for not, you know, being a little bit more regular. There's so many reasons. I won't get into that tonight. 646-652-4479 is the number. Now, here is the plan of the day. Because as of right now, my guest is not available. And I admit I am kind of worried. If you were watching the YouTube channel right before I went live, this will be disappointing if this guest does not arrive. She is, I think, a great person, a great individual, a great woman. And this is actually someone who I've known for a period of time, but never met before. Not in real life, anyway. Okay, I just got a message. So I'm gonna see if I stall just a little bit now, okay? So we'll see if we can get this to work. But this is a person who I feel definitely lends credence to the phrase women empowerment, for sure. And that's why I have her on. That's why I plan to have her on tonight. So we're going to see if we can make this work. Now, the other thing that kind of is time, because I didn't have... You know, I had a succinct period of time with this individual, so hopefully if she's able to come on, we'll have enough time to really kind of get into subject matter and her organization and everything like that. So I'm going to try not to touch any of that until she actually comes on. And so what we're going to do for now is I'm going to take a little chill. I'll stall for a second more, because she's messaging me in real time here. We'll see what happens. This is actually not the worst thing that's happened prior to an interview before. I have some stories. I'll tell them another time. Because anytime you do anything live, you know, when you record something and post it, it's much different than doing it live, knowing that you're live. You know what I'm saying? So you're trying to work things out in real time. Difficult, as you can imagine. So, and it looks like I'll have to stall at least 5 minutes, maybe. We'll see. So, let's see. How can I stall for 5 minutes? So, the last interview I had for the Women in Business Show came about, I believe, March-ish. She is a clothing designer out of Atlanta. Her name is Jacqueline. And we talked about how she became a stylist and then a designer. So that was my last interview. I think the one before that was last year, actually. Have had a lot of health issues, so I haven't really been regular with the Women in Business Show. By the way, it's not easy to conduct interviews, because first of all, you have to, you know, who is going to be the person that you're going to interview, then scheduling, and then everything that goes into that. I don't just go out and just interview anybody, obviously. I like to interview people who either I personally know, I know where they started from to where they're at as far as accomplishment, and that's how I like to set up the interview based off of that information. So that's how I usually do it. So sometimes it's few and far in between just because of that. But sometimes it's circumstances too. Again, everybody has different schedules. And like tonight, let's see. All right, so let's do this. Let me go ahead. Sorry for the dead air, folks. Gotta type this. So we're going to see if we can make this work. Unfortunately, I can't stall in certain terms because this subject matter is very very particular, and I really want her to be the educator on it. So that's why I'm not stalling in the way I usually would in regards to a particular subject matter, because I really want her to speak on it more than me, because she's the expert in this particular case. So we're going to see if I can stall just a little bit more. But anyway, the Women in Business show is something I started about 4 years ago, approximately, highlighting women who have created their own business or they've used their personal talents to create a career behind their talent. Okay. And that's how I started the particular show. So that's that quick story there. As I think she's here, so I'm going to let her get set up first before I bring her on. So, being said, now I've already kind of played the intro that I usually would play, so I'm not going to play that again, but this is what I will do. I'll go ahead and do my intro of her. All right, so inspiration. You have to want to be an inspiration to others. There is a responsibility that comes with it. You have to want to make sacrifices in your time and resources. You have to set goals, and you have to work hard. Can't be selfish. Most importantly, you have to want to see the best in others and want to see them succeed. Ebony King is such a person. She saw a need that needed to be addressed and decided to do something about it. Elevate Her UK is a nonprofit organization that provides positive advice and support to vulnerable teenage girls and young women from disadvantaged backgrounds. Ebony observed what homeless women, teenage, single mothers, and domestic abuse victims and others go through and said, "I can help." So tonight we're going to get a chance to speak to this London resident, find out how she started on this journey, difficulties and obstacles she had to overcome, accomplishments, and also plans for the future and more. So, of course, if you're watching right now, you can also call in 646-652-4479 if you'd like to chime in, ask a question. But, of course, watch the YouTube channel. Make sure you share it. And that being said, I think we're ready to go. Let's see if we can bring her in. Hi, Ebony.
Hi.
How are you?
Sorry I'm late.
No. I stalled as much as I could in this particular case. I did a pretty good job, I think, this time. So welcome to the show. Now, since I kind of just did the long version, go ahead and tell our audience, kind of introduce yourself, where you're from, and also your organization and what it's about.
Okay, my name is Ebony King. I'm a youth advocate. I'm born and bred in East London, UK. My organization, we support young girls from disadvantaged backgrounds through one-to-one mentoring, our empowerment workshop, and our outreach. So I was a teenage mom, so using my lived experiences, I try to inspire, motivate, and uplift other young girls who may be going through things that I went through. And yeah, that's about it. Okay, we promote entrepreneurship, employability skills, and we just try and help the youth, basically.
Thank you. I appreciate that, being so detailed, actually. So now, I was telling the audience as I was awaiting your arrival that you're actually just my second interview on the Women in Business show this year, my third international interview, so I'm very excited about that. I appreciate that. Now, we already know East London, so let me ask you a question. What was it like for you growing up initially? Kind of tell us just briefly, just a little bit of story, because most people have never been to the UK, London, anything like that. I know I've never been, so kind of tell the audience a little bit about you growing up.
Growing up, I was actually born in North London, and it was a predominantly black area. So it was very multicultural. You know, it was good. But then my parents divorced when I was like six. And then my mom just wanted to get away from like what you'd call the hood.
Okay.
And moved us to like the suburbs in East London / Essex area. And that was tough because it was like moving from like a predominantly black area to an area where you can literally count how many black people there were.
Oh, wow.
That was a big change for me. And also, once my dad left the household, I didn't get to see him much. So, we had to do like, he had to go to court to get child contact from the court to see us, to see my brother and I. And so it was quite, like, I didn't really get to see my dad much. So it was quite tough.
I can kind of relate to that because I was born in New York, in Queens. And my parents eventually moved myself, and then my mom got pregnant with my brother. And at that point, they decided they didn't want to raise us there, and we ended up in Georgia because of that, because they didn't want us to live in the. So I can relate to that a little bit. So let me ask you this question then: what would be, well, actually, just a little bit more about the UK, because there is a point to this. What would you say be the biggest differences between America and the UK? And do you have anything that's a favorite thing about living in London? I mean, you've been there your whole life pretty much. Is there a favorite thing that you have? But what would you say is like the biggest differences between America and the UK?
I would say I like the fact that in the UK there is some form of government assistance. I mean, I heard that the government help people out of it, but it's not like the UK. So in the UK, we have NHS, which helps with like the healthcare side of things. So it can be families from low income households that they help. There's free medication, free education, free things like that. I think that is really good for like that the UK provides things, because you guys have to pay for, you have to have insurance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
See, that right there would make such a difference. It really would if we just had that, I swear. Okay, so let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get to the bulk of the matter here. So where you are right now as a woman and founder of Elevate Her UK, was there something that happened? Well, you kind of alluded to it, actually, but was there something like an event that precipitated while you were growing up or as you were becoming a woman that was a turning point to say, this is what you're doing now is what you were going to do. Was there a moment in time that you can think of that pointed to this moment right now?
What made me start Elevate the UK was I became a teenage mom. I was 18 when I got pregnant and I was 19 when I had my child. I'm 33 now. But when I was a teenage mom, I went through so many things. Like, I didn't have much mental health support. My mom wasn't really there for me emotionally in that kind of way. So I had to be strong on my own. And back then there was like a stigma on teenage moms, like, you know, maybe you wouldn't make it in life. A teenage mom is useless and stuff like that. So I had to go through these things. And those things, it made me more determined to show like the world that I can actually be something and do something. And I like helping people because I know what it feels like to be a young mom who doesn't have much help, who doesn't have much support. My mom gave me physical support because she looked after my child when I went to uni, but no one asked me like, how am I feeling? How is it? You know, how are you feeling emotionally? You know, so I always knew that I wanted to help other young girls that were going through things like that, who didn't have someone to support them mentally.
And I will say that's a huge, what's the word I'm looking for here? Let's just say that's important because the mental part of just life can be very difficult, and so many people could care less about that. They don't care how you're feeling. They don't care what's going on, and they'll ignore it, and they'll just let things fester for a period of time until all of a sudden, boom, you know, and it's, I want to say thank you for even being available for all those young women who are in that particular position right now, because they do need the help because of that. Let's see. So I want to ask you, what was the steps of you, now that you know what you wanted to do and the why, can you explain to our audience how you actually founded this organization? Because I have to say this seemed like the easiest thing to just kind of, okay, now it's here. So what was it like founding the company, the organization, I should say? What were some of the steps? And you mentioned earlier in your intro as far as what you kind of directly participate in, but kind of give us a little bit more of that as far as that goes too.
Okay, so in the beginning, I just knew I had to do something. So how I started actually was by going to mother and baby hostels. I don't know what you guys call it in America, but mother and baby hostels. So like there's teenage mothers that live in like an accommodation. Just because I was homeless when I was a teenage mom for some time. So I know what it feels like to, you know, be homeless and be a teenage mom. So I started going to these, I went back to these places and started giving out feminine hygiene products, baby diapers and wipes and stuff. So it started out by doing outreach.
Okay.
That's how I first started, by doing outreach. And then I just started, and I got one of my cousins who also went through similar things. She actually got pregnant at 16, a little bit younger than me. And she had gone through a lot of things. She had even gone through domestic abuse, like directly from her child's father. So I just said to her, like, you know, what about if we start helping other young girls? What you know, do you want to join my team? And things like that. And then we just started. Her name's Maria. Maria and I, we started doing these things, doing workshops, delivering workshops, empowering workshops. And then we just started, and then our team grew from there, and that's how we started.
Wow, that's amazing right there. And again, you're the volunteer spirit, you know, you just wanted to do more to help others that you didn't know who they were or whatever, but you knew their situation. You knew how they had to be feeling because, like you said, you experienced it. That's really well said. I appreciate that. You mentioned some of the programs. Tell us some of the programs that you've developed over this period of time to address some of the different needs of the women that you help.
Okay, so aside from going to secondary schools, because I go and deliver talks, like I deliver awareness talks. So, you know, I would do assemblies on things such as social media pressure, gang grooming, sexual exploitation, basically what teenagers are going through right now. I would deliver talks on that, motivational speeches on that. And then the empowerment workshop, we do, like, we'll bring a facilitator to teach the girls some top tips on how to do hair, makeup, nails, lashes, first aid, self-defense, so many different things.
Wow. And I'm just flashing some of those things there as far as harassment, domestic abuse. Have you been a single mother? I just want to let the audience know these are some of the things that you concentrate on, and they're very important. 646-652-4479 is the number. If you'd like to chime in and maybe ask Ms. Ebony a question, you can definitely do that. So let me ask this, Ebony. Is there a particular story that kind of, like, off the top of your head maybe, of something that you did to help someone that just stands out, or just something in general in regards to how you've been able to help certain women kind of get to that next point in life from actually having that obstacle, whatever it was, to being able to overcome it and then continue to move forward? Is there a story that you can tell us?
Right off the top of my head, there's not a particular story, but most recently, I've had a lot of young girls who I managed to help get into employment. So,
oh, wow.
You know, I've had a few girls, and when they even message, like, so I put things on social media. So if I forget to invite certain girls, they'll be like, oh, but Ebony, why didn't you tell us about this? We wanted to come. Like, it's so shocking to me that they're actually interested in things and, you know, they still want to come. Like, I've got a good relationship with a lot of young girls. I've had a few parents also call me to, like, be an intermediary between them and their children, and I've been able to make successful outcomes from it. So there's not one particular. I've helped a lot of young people get into employment because I also partner with corporate companies and organizations. So I'm able to help these young people who are looking for work, who are looking for jobs. I'm able to help them to get into a job. And I'm also able to provide them a job because in my organization, I have, like, admin duties that need to be filled, workshop assistant duties. So sometimes I help them with things like that.
Well, that's a huge point as well, because you have people who you've actually helped who stayed in touch. That's not common. Okay, so I definitely appreciate you mentioning that, because sometimes it's easy for someone to say, "Yeah, I'm good," you know, but if you're continuing to have, like, the word outreach, and you're able to continue to stay in contact with them, so that way they know that if something else can happen, they can come back. You know, they're not just been tossed aside or whatever. And as far as you helping them with employment, that's definitely commendable, because, again, it's that next step. Most of the times when you're, let's say if you're, been, I can actually relate to this, because I've been homeless once a long time ago. I didn't plan it, but all of a sudden they fired everybody. But anyway, after that period of time and actually even got a new job, I still had to transition to, you know, I had to get a new place to live. I had to get a car again, all these different things. And that community actually helped me go through that little bit of a process, because it had been a minute, and where I was homeless, that was not the easiest place to be homeless at all. I'll talk about that a whole nother time. But anyway, so I definitely commend you on those things there, because sometimes people forget about that transition point. That's a big deal. You know, people don't want to feel like they're alone. And I've always told people over the years, people just want to know they can be helped and that you want to help them. And that's where they're going to gravitate to. So you being able to do that for people, definitely I appreciate you just for that too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So that being said, the past few months, now we're seeing one post. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think you had a little bit of fanfare there in the London area in regards to your organization. Can you kind of tell us about that? You've had some highlights happen over the last few months. Where are those?
So I have been also working on a youth safety campaign, which is not just for girls, it's for boys and girls who are young. Because in London, I don't know how it is in America, but in London, the streets are not as safe as it was before. So in the night, a lot of young people don't feel safe. So we were pleading with Transport for London. Transport for London is what regulates the public transport in London. We were feeding with them, and I've been having meetings with them, and we were trying to say, like, can they find ways to allow young people to get on the bus without having, you know, if they lose or forget their Oyster card, the bus driver should let them on. Oyster card is like a pass to get on.
Okay.
But what happens in the UK is if a young person if they forget their Oyster card, bus drivers don't let them on, even if they're wearing their school uniform. Like, the bus driver will see that this is a child, this is a vulnerable.
Oh, these are school-age kids.
Yes.
Oh.
Child wearing a, their school uniform, and they've forgotten their Oyster card or lost it, and the bus driver still will not let them on. And this is a risk, because the streets are not safe. There are things like gang grooming, sexual exploitation, street harassment that's going on, kidnap, knife crime. So a bus driver denying a school child access is increasing risk of that child being put in danger. So my team and I and other organizations came together, we pleaded with Transport for London to ask them to please allow young people on the bus if they forget their Oyster card, especially if they're in this group. So we're currently on that campaign. BBC News picked it up a few weeks ago. We're still running that campaign until, we're not going to stop until we make changes.
Yeah, that's scary. You're right. Now, streets here, yeah, they're pretty dangerous here, especially in the ATL. I'm not going to get into that right now. But I can't imagine just basically abandoning them. And depending on the time of day and things of that nature, I've never been to London, but I could just imagine, like you said, gang members, you know, recruiting and or, like you said, sexual exploitation. You just see this random person by herself at the bus stop because she couldn't, you know, and it's worrisome to even think about it. And just the bus driver be like, you know what, the city is not losing a lot by just letting this person on, right? So what are you doing? You see, so I appreciate that so much. I saw that. I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that during the interview. I saw that. So let me ask you, the future for Elevate Her UK, can you give us any secrets? I don't know if you can drop any nuggets on us, but what do you have planned for the future?
So, yeah, we'll continue to do our workshops, our mentoring in the UK. However, we're in the process of partnering with organizations in the US.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's partly why I'm currently in Atlanta. And also, we're opening a branch in Africa as well. We're going to be helping people back home, young people back home, because, you know, there's a lot of things going on that needs to be addressed.
Wow. Yeah,
so Elevate Her is branching out. It's not just going to be UK, US, Africa, worldwide, global. Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask, and it just never came up before, you know, just messaging on Instagram, whether or not you were ever going to branch eventually. So now we got the official word that you are. So congratulations on that. I know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it for sure.
Thank you.
No problem. So let me ask you a few more questions. For those that live in London that's going to see this eventually, and those who are already here in the U.S., is there a way for them to be able to participate in what you're doing right now, get involved, or there be donations or fundraising? How can people find out more about Elevate Her UK online?
First and foremost, you can go on our website, www.elevateheruk.org. So there's links there. We have a GoFundMe. We also have our nonprofit account, charity account. The details are all on our website. Or you can go on our Instagram or our Twitter. We have a link that will take you to everything. You know, if you want to, not just donations, if you want to partner with us, collaborate with us, we're open to that too. You could just send an email or just drop a message on any of those social media platforms, because we're on everything, Facebook, Instagram. So
you name it, you got it. I hear you, Ebony. That's really cool. So last but not least, I do want to say for everybody who's watching that Ebony is going to be one of the final participants in my documentary called The Power of Women, which is why y'all see the logo posted on everything today. Ebony is a woman that I've respected for a period of time now from afar, and this might be hopefully the first time I get to meet her this evening. Now she's here in America for a little bit. But The Power of Women is a project that I started to highlight those who I feel women empowerment is important to them, and they've done something to carry that on, okay? And I'm going to have her participate on the basis of answering certain questions so that way other women can see and appreciate where she comes from and maybe help them. That's why I mentioned inspiration earlier in my intro. It's important to be inspiring, and everybody can't do it. Everybody doesn't want to do it. So those who I see wanting to do it, I definitely like to get them involved in it. So thank you again for being involved in that project, Ebony.
Thank you.
No problem. So that being said, everybody, I hope that you got to learn a little bit more about Elevate Her UK. The founder here, Ebony King, is doing huge things right now in the community pertaining to women, but now also she's branching out to everybody else who needs help too. So keep that in mind. That's a big deal. Definitely want to concentrate on our ladies. Ladies are important. We can't have enough women in the world doing big things. It's important. Anybody who has a daughter, a mother, a cousin, anybody who's a woman should want to have someone look up to them, you know, and respect them. That's important. And we don't have a lot of that going on right now. So anytime I see, I like to point it out. So I want to say thank you for being available. Thank you for just taking some time with me. And I just hope that everybody really appreciated your interview, because it was very enjoyable for me.
Thank you for having me.
No problem, no problem. Well, I'm going to let you go for now, and hope to see you really soon.
Okay. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye. And everybody, that was Ms. Ebony King. Let me get my applause. And I knew she was really busy, and it was just a matter of I just had to stall just a little bit, that's all. So make sure you go to elevateheruk.org. Let me pull that up real quick. Elevateheruk.org is the website, and make sure you follow her on the Instagram page, elevate.her.uk on Instagram. If you'd like to know more about her organization, and as she mentioned, she's about to branch off the United States and also to Africa, which is amazing. I mean, that's a huge outreach now that she's going to be touching. And it's really amazing, the story she mentioned about, you know, bus drivers. You know, we have public transportation here in ATL. It's MARTA. MARTA is smarter, right? And I never really thought about it on the basis of what if a child who, for whatever reason, well, here I guess we do have our public buses, but what if it's after the fact? What if it's after school activities and things of that nature, and then they get on MARTA? We know we have a lot of kids that get on the MARTA transportation system here in Atlanta. And if their car, what if their MARTA card doesn't work? Would they leave them? I never thought of it before, not just consciously. You know, so I'm gonna have to look that up and just kind of see what process and procedure is. Would the bus driver say, oh, you can't come on, especially depending on the time of day? What if they were at a after activity and it hits, well, daylight savings time kind of prevented being dark, but what if it, you know, you see what I'm saying? I'm gonna find out about that. I'm curious about that. Now, it never occurred to me. And when I was young, I never took the bus. I was always able to get a ride from school, so it just never happened with me. But I'm going to definitely look into that because that's a huge deal. So very, very commendable on the work she's doing there to protect the young ones there in the UK as far as that goes. And hopefully you appreciate all the different programs that she has for young women who are teenage mothers and they're single, those who have gone through domestic abuse, sexual assault, homelessness, all different types of things. Because, again, so many people are neglected when people find out that's your situation. And people just turn their backs to them. And that's terrible. That's terrible. And that's why she mentioned the mental health side of it, just the mental stress and strain that comes from being in that situation. And most people have a way to climb out, really, right? So that's the other thing. So thank you for our guest, Ms. Ebony King of Elevate Her UK. That was a very enjoyable interview. Hopefully everybody appreciated it. That being said, we're going to go ahead and sign off for tonight. And hopefully you'll be around for our next Women in Business show. Make sure you're following the YouTube page, IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube. Also Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you subscribe and follow to those two pages. On the Twitter page, of course, IMTN Radio. Make sure you go there. There's a Facebook page for IMTN Worldwide Radio, too, if you didn't know. Make sure you follow, subscribe to all those different pages. And we'll be back again real soon. Till next time, y'all take care.